Good morning. This is the BOE hearing. Today is Thursday, June 13th, 2024. This hearing is for petition E-227-23. The appellant is Kohl's Department Stores, Inc., parcel number 1-3099-401-2290-008. The Board of Equalization is a quasi-judicial body, which means having to do with powers to make legal decisions consistent with other federal and state boards and commissions. The board and the assessor's office are independent of each other. The role of this board is to review the evidence and testimony provided by both parties and determine the fair market value of the property as of January 1st of the 2023 assessment year for taxes payable 2024. Washington state law presents presumption of correctness to the assessor. The burden is on the appellant to prove their valuation is correct to a legal standard of clear, cogent, and convincing. This hearing is recorded and all testimony is under oath. As clerk of the board, I will now ask you to affirm your testimony by raising your right hand and taking the oath.
So affirm, or she has.
You are testifying today, affirm that the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth.
I so affirm.
I so affirm.
I so affirm.
Okay. Following this hearing, the board will meet to weigh all the evidence and testimony and make a final determination. A written decision will be issued to you, which you should receive within 4 weeks. The decision is appealable to the State Board of Tax Appeals within 30 days of the date of the decision letter. The board is in receipt of all documentation provided by the appellant and the assessor, and the board has reviewed it. Chair.
Okay, this is a commercial appeal. We usually allow about an hour for these things, so for about maybe the first 20 minutes, we'd like to hear from you, Mr. McGarity. Then we will listen to the assessor. We'll have some questions back and forth, and then we will adjourn and deliberate. So with that, you may proceed.
Right, thank you. Yeah, so looking at our page one of our package, kind of as you all stated, we're looking at a Kohl's big box store today, located in Richland, account number 276194, and we're looking at the value as of January 1, 2023. So going on to our page two is a little bit of a summary of our building, the characteristics and so forth. We've chose to look at a cost approach today. As we all know, kind of with these big box stores, these they typically don't have a lot of transaction volume. There's usually not a lot of good, reliable leases for big box stores on the market. So, again, we believe that the cost approach is the most reliable indicator. And that being said, we are using the Marshall and Swift cost service. So here, like I said, we have a few basic characteristics of the building. It's located at 1451 Tapteel Drive. We were built in 1999. We're on a little over 11 acres of land. And our building is 116,283 square feet. And based on Marshall and Swift, again, we are a big box discount store, occupation code 319. And we are of C class and average quality. And other than that, we do have your typical heating and cooling, sprinklers, and so forth included.
Could I ask you a quick question? Why do you consider the store to be of average quality?
Yeah, and actually we do have a little bit more evidence kind of included a little bit later, but really based on Marshall and Swift's definition, when you're looking at these big box retail stores, you have two main types past getting into kind of the retail, the community centers and so forth. You have a warehouse discount store and a discount store. As far as a warehouse discount store, those are going to be kind of your Home Depot, Lowe's, and then the upper end is kind of your Target, your Walmart. And then as we're looking at the Kohl's today, you have a discount store, which is going to be a little bit better quality compared to those warehouse discount stores. There's going to be more finish out and so forth. And again, we have a little bit more evidence in there, but based on our age of our building being 1999 and kind of the condition that these were built at that time frame, and well as overall the general finish out, because when you look at this building from the exterior, again, you have your sign out front, but at the end of the day, the building is really just a concrete tilt-up wall. And inside, you're going to have varying degrees of some carpeted areas, some concrete, some tile. And other than that, the insides, obviously, when you're talking about real estate, not the personal property inside, the insides are pretty barren. So that being said, it kind of seemed to meet the criteria of an average quality overall.
I know the assessor is calling it good, and they've given us a lot of pictures to demonstrate the difference between average and good. So I guess we'll hear from them and we'll see how that goes. Okay, go ahead and proceed. Okay.
Thank you. Yeah, and so on our page 3 is that actual cost approach. And again, we're classifying it as a discount store of average quality C-class construction. And so based on that, the Marshall & Swift base cost is $89.50 a square foot. After that, we made the necessary adjustments to add in the sprinklers. And then for this property in particular, the heating and cooling for our moderate climate was already included in the base cost, so no further addition needed. After that, we've got our construction multipliers that take into account the height, the area, and then the current and local multipliers. And the current and local, current kind of as it sounds, it really brings it up to speed with our data value. And then the local multiplier is going to adjust for the specific market that we're in.
Why do you conclude that we're in a moderate climate area?
Yeah, so good question. In the Marshall & Swift hand guide, they have some pages on climate, and they really classify everything. They have an overall qualification of climate zones 1 through 7, and they kind of highlight those, and obviously 1 being the low end of the spectrum, 7 being the high end of the spectrum. And then beyond that, they have a few other qualifiers, such as the amounts of rain received in each region from low to high, and things of that nature, really just overall kind of climate conditions, if you will. And so
are you familiar with Eastern Washington at all?
Yes, sir, I am.
Well, I mean, we have quite the temperature variation from winter to summer. I mean, you know, we're oftentimes can be, you know, below zero in winter with snow, and summer many days over 100 degrees. So I don't really consider that a moderate climate. And we're semi-arid here as well. That's speaking to your rainfall.
Yeah. And I think overall, we were kind of looking at, again, what Marshall & Swift was recommending based on their charts. And then we also did review the county's workup to see, because we always like to agree on some things, obviously, to make it as easy as possible. And they were also using a heating and cooling adjustment of 0 as well. So we did seem to be in agreement on that.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes. And so all that said, that gave us our base building cost of that $12,016,121. And then after that, we made the other additions for other site improvements. So you've had parking area, you've got some canopy or mezzanine area, you've got other area, and then we also want to include $50,000 for some general other site improvements here. And those totaled up to a little over $933,000. So that brought our total improvement cost to $12,950,000. After that, based on the age of the building and what Marshall & Swift recommends for the expected life of these buildings, we applied the indicated 52% depreciation, and that gave us our depreciated replacement cost of $6,216,000. And then our last step was looking at the land. We reviewed the immediate neighborhood and couldn't find large enough sample size of close by recent sales in the neighborhood to justify anything from what the current land was. So we are estimating the land value to be the current land value of $4,497,200.
That's the same as the assessor, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah, we did agree with that current land value.
Okay.
All in all, that comes to our concluded value of $10,710,000. And starting on our page 4, we did include some of those extra Marshall and Swift kind of supporting pages. We do have the page four, a discount store class C, and the average and the other qualifications. And as we can see there in our determination, kind of based on the definition of exterior wall, interior finish, and then the lighting and the plumbing, it did seem that our average was reasonable. And again, considering that this was an older built Kohl's, so it's kind of the average quality that they were built at that time frame. I will kind of skip over our page 5 and 6. Again, that's just confirming that a discount store of both low and average quality of C class, the estimated life is 35 years. And then on the page 6 is that indicated based on the age, what that depreciation would be, which is that 52% that we had previously looked at.
Mm-hmm.
And then going on to our page 7, as I mentioned earlier, was a bit more of our discussion based on the quality.
I don't have a page 7. It stops at the depreciation commercial properties page.
We had supplied we should have 8 pages that we had submitted.
Assessors, do you guys have that?
What page again?
He says page 8.
Page A1-7.
No, we have A1-7. Is that what you're looking at?
Yes, sir.
Well, Peter, do you have that?
It's on mute. No, I don't have that page either, George.
Okay.
The last one we have is the last one he just
described. Yeah, the depreciation. Yeah, okay. Yeah. And assessors, did you said you guys have that page?
We do have it.
Okay. Well, for some reason, the board doesn't have it. So, okay.
Okay. Well, I mean, he did send it to us, and I can read, or he can read it, but if he reads the whole thing, there's some information there, but he indicates that, the Marshall and Swift representative, it sounds like they spoke on the phone. He said that according to the phone discussion and the letter, it could be either discount store, average or good, or retail store, fair to average. The final estimate will depend on the finishes and appointments of the subject building. As our phone call, you mentioned the building is a standalone one story with the storage mezzanine. And it says Marshall Swift puts these in section 13, page 1. And then it ends with his name, Gary Miller.
Okay. Thank you. Okay.
You're welcome.
Mr. McGarity,
sorry about that.
You may continue.
Thank you. Yeah, and again, I appreciate you reading that out. And again, just to describe what we had submitted is Kohl's in the past has had these questions, honestly, too, because Marshall and Swift, all you can do at some point is kind of read the descriptions of all these various property types. But at the end of the day, it does leave up room for interpretation. And given that we had seen so many Kohl's described as various qualifications, Kohl's did reach out to Marshall and Swift and kind of wanted a confirmation of, hey, at the end of the day, what should we qualify these buildings? And again, just to kind of reiterate what was read out by the assessor's office was, again, they said that these Kohl's would qualify under a discount store of average to good, and then a retail store fair to average. And then again, they did say that kind of where you are in that scale is gonna depend on some of the finishes and the specifics of the subject building. So all that to say, we did feel that supported our discount store average quality. Because again, being a older build, we didn't feel that it met the qualifications of a good discount store. And then also, when we were viewing the county's workup, they did seem to be calling it a good retail store. And I think this letter shows that at a best case scenario, you'd be looking at a average retail store. And it could also be as low as a fair or low ranking. So we did want to include that as well. And I guess our last page, and if you guys didn't receive 7, you probably didn't receive the A1-8 either. But I can describe that as well. I know on previous discussions, kind of one of our points of discussion on this property was that there was a Sephora kind of makeup counter addition to the store on the inside. And so it sounded like some of our increase year over year was kind of being justified through that Sephora addition. And on here, we received a asset breakdown from Kohl's, and they shared with us how much kind of money they put into both the real estate portion of the Sephora addition, as well as the personal property addition. And so it totaled to a little over 500,000 in additions. But then the further breakdown is that real estate, only $57,960 went to the real estate addition. And then the remaining $450,000 was all for personal property. So again, just kind of as a final thing, at the end of the day, we did see that our assessment on this year over year had increased by $5.5 million. And given that this was really the only change year over year to the property itself, and the real estate additions only totaling to 58,000, we really didn't see the justification for such a large increase year over year.
Well, some of that, I think we'll probably learn from the assessor, but you know, some of it has to do with local market conditions, obviously. So.
Yeah.
Okay. So are you finished at this point? We can circle back later. So
yes, sir. That concludes everything in our package.
Okay. Thank you. Who's presenting today? Is it Brad?
I'm presenting today. I have some questions, about the cost approach that was done. If that's all right, before I make my presentation,
go ahead.
Mr. McGarty, you have, you know, you've done a cost approach here. How does your cost approach compare to your analysis of the local sales?
Yeah, and again, and I know I get a chance later to kind of touch on some of y'all's package, but we did look at the sales market, and the really hard thing that we have justifying is a lot of these other sales are much smaller retail centers. They're going to be multi-tenant shopping centers. And really just with none of these big box stores, honestly, ever really trading hands on an open market, it's few and far between. And in our review, we couldn't really find any standalone stores, or at least enough to justify using a sales comparison approach. And then kind of, as I said earlier, along kind of tying together with the leases, just with the lack of that data as well, a cost approach with Marshall and Swift, since it's pretty widely respected, did seem to be our best indicator of value.
So the question on Sephora that you had, Sephora doesn't declare any personal property. So property in this state will be valued once and only once. So it can be on the real or it can be on the personal. So Sephora has not declared any personal property. So can you respond to that?
Yeah, and I guess in response to that on our page 8, I think, like I said, we don't work with Sephora directly. It's more so with Kohl's. And we received this asset breakdown of real estate and personal property from them. And so all things considered, we believed it to be true and accurate as far as the real estate and the personal breakdown. And then I guess,
but But the property does exist in the situs of this address, correct?
Yeah, I think there was a small Sephora counter addition on the inside of the property, correct?
Can I ask this real quick? Who owns that personal property? Is it Sephora or is it Kohl's?
You know, based on them sending this to me, I honestly would probably think Kohl's. And that's kind of my, I don't want to give you all any bad information, but that's to the best of my knowledge. And I would say just at the end of the day, if we didn't trust this and we wanted to say everything was real estate there, again, it totaled to 500,000 and we increased by 5.5 million year over year. So I know there's other obviously market conditions at play, but we really didn't see the justification for such a big increase.
Are you aware that that not warehouse store but warehouse space in Tri-Cities goes for about $110 a square foot? Are you aware of that?
Yeah, I know, and maybe I'm misunderstanding, but I do know right now that obviously the industrial market is kind of hotter than retail. So I would expect that industrial properties to trade for more potentially, obviously given, and me just summarizing, given the quality of the building, but this being a discount store, I didn't really see the tie-in for warehouses.
Okay. Well, there's some other questions that I have about your cost approach. You don't say anything about the electronic vehicle charging stations.
Yeah.
And we have a permit for those for $250,000.
Yeah. And I think, and let me, because like I said, we did want to compare our cost to yours to make sure we weren't missing anything or what have you. So we noticed on y'all's that, let's see, you were valuing the parking area at $2.20 a square foot and then listed obviously the charging stations separately. We took a slightly different approach and instead of 220, we valued our parking area at 310 to accommodate for everything in the parking area. So to the best of our ability, we tried to include everything in the parking area.
Okay. And let's talk about the retaining wall. It's 900 feet long. It goes from about 4 feet tall to about 18 or 19 feet tall. How do you accommodate for that multi-million dollar improvement to the parcel?
Again, I'm sorry, I'm just looking at your cost approach too, because I was trying to compare where we were at. Yeah, you know, I think when we were looking, we didn't see a retaining wall added, and we didn't.
It's in our presentation. It's in pictures. You can see it from the, I mean, Krebs 900 feet long. You can see it from pretty far away. Have you ever been to the parcel?
Yeah, I've visited in the past. Yes, sir. But like I was saying, we want to try to mirror y'all's approach as much as possible. And we didn't see any retaining wall included in y'all's. And so, and you know, I am seeing that obviously on ours, we did include that extra site improvements for 50,000, which we like to include for when we don't have all the information in front of us. We like to include extra to account for your standard Kohl's store. So obviously if you feel that more than 50,000 would be needed for the retaining wall, I could see adding some to ours, but I guess at the end of the day, our kind of conversation was, obviously it's important to include all the site improvements, but at the end of the day, those are only going to be between, say, 500,000 to 700,000 of our property. So we're kind of looking at the bigger picture here of the building itself, being obviously kind of the main determinant.
Well, if we value the property, But do you know that they had they have to do a little repair on that retaining wall of a few feet of it, maybe 15, 18 feet of the retaining wall. Do you know that permit value is almost $600,000?
It's for the repair.
And that's a repair of about, what, 18 feet, I think?
Yeah.
About 18 feet length of that. The repair is $600,000.
And, you know, honestly, with our clients, we have to kind of get what information they can give us. So, just for my own personal knowledge, do you happen to have a date on that permit?
Yeah. It's 2024, but I'm also putting things into perspective. If a 18-foot repair costs $594,648, how much do you think a 900-foot retaining wall of that height costs? My dad's an engineer. I bet you the engineering cost $750,000. So moving on beyond that, we do have, you know, I think the board members are familiar with the property. It's Kohl's, it's local. This is where a lot of us go to shop. It is very close to our, we do have two discount stores as comps. Let me go to those pages. And as far as, you know, I agree with what the person said from Marshall and Swift. In the end, I mean, and I quote, in the end, it depends on the finish. It says it could be priced, but the final, it could be, it, as a retail store, it could be priced fair to average. The final estimate will depend on the finishes and appointments of the subject building. We have pictures included in the subject building, the finishes. When we went and inspected it, I did a training on this with my staff. And we went into Target and looked at the finishes in Target and looked at the finishes here. You mentioned that Target is kind of more at the top end. The finishes in this Kohl's and the finishes at Target, if anything, this Kohl's has nicer finishes than the Target. Yeah. And that's from being in the parse in the property. We've inspected it. You also have 52% depreciation. Are you aware that in 2007 they did a $3.24 million remodel to the building?
Yeah, and you know, I mean, based on the age of the building, we were looking at the depreciation, and like I said,
that's straight line considering, I mean, as it said, you know, it's not been, you know, nothing but maintenance, but I mean, here, according to your, you know, I mean, that's a third of the building that's been recouped by that alone. And this property has several permits on it. I think that, you know, the cost approach isn't really realistic. We do have comparables, and we do have a lot of, you know, we think of more discount stores to be more like a Walmart, to be more like a, obviously you mentioned warehouse discount store, like a Costco, you know, no ceiling panels, you know, pretty inexpensive finishes, if any finishes at all. Wider spans or Winco, very similar. But when you get into the finishes that the subject have, the bathrooms are very nice. You know, there's pictures in the bathrooms, you know, nice tile and carpet. There is a little bit of concrete, but very little. You see the, you know, the finishes in there, and you know, this is not just a big rectangle. The if you'll look on page 36, you'll see in the bathroom there's quartz countertops in the bathroom, stainless steel appliance fixtures, quartz countertops, big pretty mirrors, Nice lighting, nice trim, all big, nice. I think there's 24 by 24 inch textured tiles. I think this is just the store, from in my professional opinion, and looking not only at Marshall and Swift, but looking in the marketplace. You know, we have warehouse discount stores and stores that are very much like warehouse discount stores selling for significantly more than what you're saying for a higher class property. Goodness, it's way back here. So we have a Sports Authority on Canal Street that's quite large. Where is it?
Wasn't that repurposed for a discount?
Sports? No. Sports Authority. It's on Canal by it's in the Colonnade Shopping Center.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm thinking of the one on Columbia Center
Sports
Boulevard.
Yes. I'm sorry. Sportsman's Warehouse.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking about.
We also have the At Home store. That At Home store sold. It sold. Where is it here? Columbia Center Boulevard.
Yeah.
I'm trying to straighten it out. That one sold for more than what the subject, you know, he's proposing for the subject. In the end, it's owned by Home Depot. It's finished like a Home Depot. Where is that one? Columbia Center Boulevard. What sales he put in here? I didn't put this together. But we do have one on Ely Street, which, yes, it's a shopping center, but that one sold for $176 a square foot. Very similar finishes. I mean, it has Big Lots in this store. Big Lots is a discount store. It has an auto parts store. It has a gym. I mean, the gym just has carpet on the floor.
Pretty sure that's At Home.
At Home, where is it?
Grand Range.
Oh, no, that's not At Home. It was $10 million.
Okay.
Yeah. So, certainly if there's any other questions, but I don't think $92 or whatever is realistic when you can't find warehouse space. I mean, if that's what the point of the matter is, why don't you convert it to warehouse space if you get more money? It's not realistic that an inferior use would have, you know, a higher value. Warehouse space is going for $100 a square foot. At Home store sold well in excess of what you're saying, and it doesn't make any sense. And it's not really, honestly, this discussion is about market value, not about percent increase. And it's not realistic at $90 a square foot, $92 a square foot. It's just completely not realistic.
Mark,
not in this marketplace.
Mark, let me ask you a question. The appellant indicated there was a large percentage increase this year. Was this a physical inspection year for Kohl's?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So,
well, the year that it increased, I don't think it was increased this year. I think it's been that for a couple of years. I don't have that right in front of me, but when it increased, let me look here. I'd have to open up my other record. But I don't think it increased this year. I think it increased last year. This property has been appealed. It was appealed in 2020, 2021, 2022. I think it was an inspection cycle in 22 when it was, but that when we sent them the package, it was withdrawn. In 2020, it was withdrawn. In 2021, the BOE sustained the value. 2022, it was withdrawn again. I think they recognized before that, you know, that this is justified. You know, the people who withdrew this.
Do you have any response, Mr. McGarrity?
Yeah, and I guess the first on that is, me personally, I've only been working this property for the last couple of years, so I can't speak on what my previous colleagues would have done. But I do have those numbers in front of me, and the increase was for this year. We were at, it was $11 million. I'll just round to keep it simple, but $11,250,000 in 22, and now we're at $16,700,000 in 23. So, again, taking a step back and just looking at the bigger picture, because we are, as the assessor mentioned, we are talking about market here. We like looking at the previous lien dates to see where the market was at. And the lien date as of 1/1/22, your average mortgage rate was 3.2%. And then the lien date that we're looking at here, 1 year later, January 1, 2023, the average mortgage rate had doubled, 6.4%. So as we all know, I mean, it really just makes lending a lot more expensive. It makes it riskier. It's going to purely affect the amount of money that can be spent on these properties. So again, I know that's not specifics, but taking into account the market conditions that have gone on in the last couple of years, it just,
Well, we
had a hard time seeing a 49% increase.
In the Tri-Cities, probably 2022 is probably the peak of the local real estate market. And we believe it's probably been slightly declining since that date. And probably will turn around again maybe later this year after the Fed decreases their interest rates. But in the final analysis, as far as the board is concerned, as Marisol read off earlier, in the state of Washington, the legislature gave the assessor the presumption of correctness. And to overcome that presumption of correctness, you have to provide evidence to a standard of clear, cogent, and convincing, which is a very high standard. And so at this point, just looking between the two, what we seem to have is differences in judgment. You judge it C average, they judge it C good. You seem to think it has a lower higher depreciation rate than the assessor thinks. But those are all judgment factors, and that's not evidence. I mean, you need to provide us with evidence that demonstrates that, you know, that the depreciation rate is what you claim it is, the C average. You showed us that letter, which we don't have, by the way, from Marshall and Swift. And even in there, you could see there was judgment that you could go either way, depending on fit and finish. And so, you know, we're kind of left with, we're here with trying to make a decision, but based on the Washington State Legislature, I don't think you've met the burden of clear, cogent, and convincing evidence.
Yeah, and did I have another chance to still touch on the yield and cost?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, because they were kind of rattling off their sales, and kind of as I said, we obviously do look at sales all the time, but we want something that's going to be truly comparable to our property. We don't want to use kind of, we don't want to say it's close enough and make a call that way, because it wouldn't be doing justice to the subject property. And I did want to point out that I'm looking at their page 50 on sales one. We looked at all of these sales. Sales 1 through 8 were, none of them were freestanding. All of them were neighborhood shopping centers at varying degrees of quality. And the first thing I would point out is if you look at their improvement square footage, sale one has 109,000 square feet. Everything else is 2, 3, 4 times smaller than us. And so the first thing being, if you look at Marshall and Swift, if you compare a freestanding discount store to a neighborhood shopping center, the average base cost on a shopping center is 35% higher than a discount store.
Understand. I mean, from the board's perspective, I think, you know, to keep this on a head-to-head perspective, we would probably ignore the sales and focus on the cost approach to make it equivalent to what you've done, right? So looking at their cost approach, they came in with 27.8, although I think I would adjust their land value back down to the 4.5 million that they have in the assessed value, not the 6.8, but it would bring it down somewhere in the neighborhood of, you know, 25 million against an assessed value of a little under 17 million.
Yeah.
So so we're left with trying to, you know, decide, it's sort of a judgment against judgment, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the assessor is given the presumption of correctness in Washington state. So I don't, you know, that's kind of where we're at.
Yeah, and I would say on the last thing, because I think the assessor would be in agreement with us, because it looks like we both use Marshall and Swift. So I think we are in at least agreement that Marshall is a kind of overall a reliable source.
Yeah, we agree.
Yeah, and so again, I mean, the couple of, we've kind of covered it at this point mostly, but the couple of things I did want to point out is, again, in that letter, and I apologize you guys didn't receive it for whatever reason, but it did say discount store should be average to good, and if you were to do it as a retail store, it would be fair to average. They have used a retail at good, which I know they mentioned, and I agree, the letter says take into account the specifics of each property to gauge where it is on that level. But I guess the fact is that if they're saying that it's anywhere between fair to average, that would mean that at best case it's average. So I didn't really understand how they were getting retail good out of that. And then the last thing I wanted to point out was, I guess on that, so how you classify it is going to have a direct impact on the depreciation, because
obviously, yes.
At the retail good that they have it at, that would be 50 years of economic life estimated. But if you correctly go down to at best a retail average, I mean, that's going to bump down your estimated life to 40, which is, again, just going to have a direct impact on the depreciation. And the last thing was on their page 49 on their cost. So you can see in their refinement, they have the current cost multiplier and the local multiplier. And kind of as we already covered, I mean, pretty standard, a current adjusts for your time, and then the local adjusts for your specific area. But if you look a few rows down, they have a Richland GR factor of 1.35. And that's just seemingly out of nowhere, that they're bumping at 35%.
Let's ask them what that is. So, Mark, what is the Richland GR factor?
That is based on our local sales studies. We look at our sales and see how our sales compare to Marshall and Swift, that is how we adjust for the local market.
So what
which is totally within mass appraisal, that is how it is done.
Okay, so what does GR stand for besides my initials?
Oh, that's the, that's just the, what?
General retail.
General retail. That's the general retail.
Okay.
I will notice about the Marshall and Swift that this letter was dated in 2006. This is not about this Kohl's. This is about Kohl's. This is about all the Kohl's. This is not about the subject. It doesn't mention the subject. This mentions that this letter is referring to Kohl's.
Kohl's writ large, yeah. Well, we didn't receive the letter, so we don't have it in evidence.
Okay.
That's really old, 2006.
Yeah.
And I would point out that our building is 1999, so it would be relevant for our case there.
Okay. Sure.
But I think a final thing on that GR factor is, I think, as we all said, I mean, we trust Marshall and Swift, and the local multiplier that we already have in there of 1.12, that does account for your local jurisdiction, property type, or C class. It is making that adjustment. So All in all, I would say we either take Marshall as a whole or we don't use it at all, because I just have a hard time justifying using Marshall as intended and then pulling in a 35% adjustment out of nowhere that isn't recommended in Marshall and throwing that in as well, when I think the current and local multipliers do a good job already of accounting for your local marketplace.
If you will look in Marshall Swift and read the fine print, that is an allowable methodology, that you look at the market, the local market and make an adjustment. And in the end, our even with this factor on, our sales ratio is at 85% with that local market factor. So when something sells, we're only at 85% of what they sold for. So, maybe this is before your generation, but I remember Ronald Reagan, trust but verify. So
I
that
remember.
factor is trust but verify. And we do that for a reason, because we'd be at 40, 50, 60% if we didn't put that factor in. And we are tasked with putting 100% market value on the property in this county. So if we went with just flat Marshall and Swift, I've been doing this a really long time. I've been working in this marketplace a long time. And we're not looking at apartments, but Marshall and Swift doesn't even come to 50% of what apartments are selling for today. And that factor, that local market factor, is an accumulation of all property types, industrial, residential, I mean, not residential, retail, industrial, office. So this is a factor that pertains to retail sales in this jurisdiction, in the Tri-Cities jurisdiction, not industrial, office, mini
So,
storage,
Mark,
multi.
when I look at the your page 10 for retail stores, 353, which is what you used in your page 49, for C good, it talks about best tilt up. Can you describe the difference between best tilt up and just regular tilt up?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
Okay. The average tilt up is, and you guys have seen, you live around here, you've seen apple sheds and stuff. The best tilt up, they pour on the ground and then lift. And the better tilt ups are done in better forms, and it gives a better overall finish to the property. And it does make a big difference. The average tilt up is to be a warehouse type space, with warehouse type finish on the outside. This is a tilt up, and I don't contest that it's a tilt up. That's a good way to make a big square or rectangular structure. But you look at the finish on the building. You look at the finish on the building. It has trim. It has stucco. It has finish on the outside of the building. That's the difference between a best tilt up and an average tilt up. Average tilt up is for like apple sheds, where they just need to enclose the building, and that's all they do. They're very basic storage type structures.
Yeah, I think just looking between C average and C good, I can see the differences here. I mean, they talk about adequate restrooms. You demonstrated the restrooms are actually very nice in that store. Carpet, vinyl tile. Yeah, I mean, we've all been in that store, so I mean, it's a nice store. It's a very nice store. Now, part of the difference seems to be coming from his belief of discount retail versus general retail. But having been in that store, right, and comparing it to other stores, discount stores I've been in, it's not the same. I mean, Walmart is substantially different from Kohl's.
Walmart
You know,
has a
you.
substantial amount of bare concrete wall that's just painted. Concrete floor.
Right.
And
And
mostly.
If I might add, we did make a distinction at the start of our presentation that a Walmart, a Target, a Costco, what have you, those are warehouse discount stores. And we did use a discount store, as we know, in our workup, which does account for the higher finish out compared to a warehouse discount store.
Well, let me ask you, it sounds like you represent a number of Kohl's stores or represents maybe Kohl's writ large. How does Kohl's describe themselves?
Yeah, I mean, kind of like you said in that general letter that we've received in the past, they're kind of consistent with that in saying that they are a discount store. And we've typically used that qualification across the board. Obviously, you're going to have some of your other Kohl's that maybe stand out and are different or maybe in a shopping center and not a freestanding like this. So there will be some of your kind of your nuance. But for these freestanding ones, and again, most of these, as you know, are kind of built same time frame, 90s, early 2000s. We really don't have any issue calling them discount stores across the board, and Kohl's is kind of in line with that. And then obviously the age and other factors are going to determine where we are on the quality scale.
Yeah. Well, not, wait a minute. Quality is construction quality. Not you're speaking to condition, which is different from quality.
And I would say, George, there's a difference between actual age and effective age. So if you take a 19,
yeah, I understand.
Yeah, and this building's been remodeled, so it's not effectively a 1999 building anymore. So.
Right, but he's trying to equate condition with
quality,
building quality. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're not the same. So
I agree.
Okay. Okay. Well, I think we understand where we're at here. So anything further from either side?
I'm good. Thank you. I appreciate your time, gentlemen.
Yeah. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Okay. We will adjourn the hearing and we will deliberate. So thank you all for attending.
Thank you.